Has Europe's economy finally turned a corner? New data out today show the economies of the 19 countries that use the euro grew slightly in the first 3 months of the year. Joining us now from London is the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker. And Andrew, the headline here is that Europe's economy is now bigger, finally, than it was at the start of the financial crisis 8 years ago. What's driving that?
Well, it has been monetary policy has been a terribly important part of it. That's to say, the actions of the European Central Bank. It also has actually put some of its own, or at least one of its own, policy interest rates below zero. And I suppose it's also the fact that the effort to sort out government finances, to reduce government borrowing needs, that has certainly made some progress. And they're not pursuing that agenda quite so aggressively as before. And that's taken a little bit of the pressure off and has also allowed a little bit more space for the eurozone economy to recover.
Now, the eurozone has more than a million new people in it because of the migrant crisis that's been going on. Has that had any effect on the economy, or can we tell at this point?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit early to suggest that. And certainly there are different views about just what the effect might be, dealing with the costs of responding to the inflow of people is a significant issue, and many eurozone governments are financially challenged as things are. At the same time, the additional workers coming into the market may fill gaps that are there. So there may be some positive impact, perhaps not in the immediate future, but certainly plenty of economists think that that is the slightly longer term outlook for the impact of the migrant inflow.
Now, in the eurozone, jobs and inflation numbers also came out today, and the unemployment rate fell, but it fell to 10.2%, which is about twice what it is here in the United States. So is that seen as a good unemployment rate in Europe, or what?
It is not seen as a good unemployment rate, but it is seen as a lot better than it used to be not very long ago. And you've seen some quite dramatic improvements in these figures in some of the countries that were really badly hit. So in Spain, over the course of the last few years, it's come down from 25 to more like 20%. Ireland is down from around 15% to now slightly below 9%. And it must be said that some of the improvement probably does owe something to emigration. So some of those Irish and Spanish people who were unemployed are now simply working in other countries. Hmm. But there has been some genuine improvement, I think, in the labour market situation, but it is certainly not fixed.
Now, going back to what you were saying at the beginning about the monetary policy that's been important in this recovery in Europe, how fragile is the recovery at this point? Because there are so many things going on. You know, there's the possibility that the UK is going to leave the EU in June. There'll be a referendum. There are people in Italy and Greece dealing with all of these migrants coming in. How fragile is the recovery in Europe?
It is fragile, and the International Monetary Fund has been expressing concerns that the global recovery more generally is now proceeding at a pace that's sufficiently slow that it is vulnerable. And you have to say that the eurozone within that is going to be one of the most vulnerable spots. Greece is also another potential issue. You might have thought or perhaps hoped that that long-running story had gone away. Well, it hasn't. So those are all issues. And you also mentioned earlier, Jeremy, that we've got some new inflation figures. Those figures show deflation, falling prices once again, 0.2% in the most recent month. That is another source of vulnerability because it does mean that debt problems are more difficult to get on top of. And there is an awful lot of debt among governments, among banks, and among households in the eurozone. So that's another source of potential vulnerability.
That's the BBC's economics correspondent, Andrew Walker, joining us from London today. Andrew, thanks.
It's my pleasure, Jeremy.